The Bible said in John, let me get to what I can see here, John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." He said, "That you also love one another." John 15:12 said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 15:17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." The Lord began to work in my heart about that little phrase, one another, and how important it is. In John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." 1 John 3, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another." And 1 John 3:23, "This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us," how many is glad he did? If God so loved us, and he did. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then there's a phrase in 1 John 4:12, "No man has seen God at any time." And then he said, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." And for 2 John 1:5, "Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have heard from the beginning." The thought got on my heart, what's it look like when God's people love one another? Let me just ask by way of show of hands, how many of y'all were not here Wednesday night? I believe there's several. Brother Steve was laid up. Amen. Several of you were not here Wednesday night. But what's it look like? If you were to try to describe it, what's it look like when God's people love one another? And I begin to pick up on that one another statement, and I'm not going to review the whole thing, but just a little bit. The first thing and the only thing we talked about on Wednesday night is it looks like a faithful servant. Jesus came, the Word of God said, not to be ministered unto, or not for somebody to serve him, but to serve others. Amen. I made the statement on Wednesday night, and I think it's true. Kennedy, I believe, John Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." I believe that there was a time when patriotism was a whole lot bigger in the heart of men, a whole lot brighter in our country than it is right now. Amen. There are men willing to give their life for our country. And Jesus, of course, was willing to give his life for you and give his life for me. The Bible said, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty, only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve one another." The happiest Christians in the world are Christians that don't get out of bed for themselves, but get out of their bed for others, that live their life for others. I believe I'm filling out right now a missionary reference for Brother Coulter. That's the first step. The Rock of Ages sends the pastor it's a big long form, and they want you to fill it out. And I want you to know, as I answer the questions, it's been a joy to answer those questions, amen, and be able to recommend a young man for the ministry, the missions work that God has called him into. And so tonight, we looked at that word exhorting in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." And I always thought that meant just lifting one another up. And I believe that certainly is part of it. He said, "So much the more as you see the day approaching." If you look up the Greek word, it means to call near. It means to invite. It means to invoke, to beseech, to comfort, to exhort, to entreat, to pray. And I believe that exhorting one another comes as the ministry of the Holy Spirit is alive and well in our hearts and our lives. He was called the Paraclete, or the one called alongside to help. He's a very present help in a time of need. So when we love one another, what's it look like? It looks like a faithful servant. The second thing that I want to call to your attention, and again, I'm looking at this phrase, one another, and that's how the Lord has built it in my heart, is it looks like a forgiving Savior. No one ever cared for us like Jesus. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. And that's exactly what Jesus did. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 2, the Bible said, with all lowliness and meekness. You say, preacher, why did you read that verse? It says, with long suffering. It says, forbearing one another in love. Well, Jesus came. That's how he came. He humbled himself and became a man. Amen. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that comes from a Greek word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But it means that forbearing. It means to hold oneself up against. It means to put up with. I want y'all to listen to me tonight. There have been times in my Christian life, and I believe everybody in this building would say amen. My Heavenly Father just simply put up with me. He just put up with me. He was patient with me. And I believe when you're looking at a forgiving Savior, the Bible said in Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The Lord brought something to my attention as I studied and meditated on what he was saying in this one another phrases, like a faithful servant, like a forgiving Savior. That is that when Jesus hung on the cross, get this now, there was one man that day we know for sure that experienced the forgiveness of God, and that was a thief that was hanging alongside of him. I want to think, Brother Larry, that centurion, the one that after he died said, surely this was the Son of God. I want to think God did something in his heart. But listen, the thing that God pointed out to me was Christ hanging on the cross. They're at down there, they're gambling for his garments. They have plucked his beard. They've crowned him with thorns. They've beaten his back and scourged him. They've nailed him to a cross. And he cries, Father, forgive him. The one that was beside of him? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's what God put in my heart, Brother Steve. Forgiveness, but they didn't ask for it. I've been saying this for years and really didn't think I had any Bible to back it up with. But I believe right there's Bible to back it up with. You better learn how to forgive people, whether they ask you to forgive them or not. Or you're not going very far in the Christian life. Things are going to happen. Hurt's going to happen. Now, you remember this morning as I was talking about this was offered in love, the little loaf of bread that Miss Eve offered, and then not only was that, it was offered in spite of past hurts. Well, I want y'all to guess how many people came to her and said, I want you to forgive me for what I said about your husband or what I did to your husband. See, Miss Eve's tough. She can take it if you're talking about her. But when you start on her husband, she's got a problem with that. I'm the same way. It'll roll off of my back, but you start on my wife. Help me. We got a problem with that. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say she got past it. And she learned to forgive, though no one ever asked her to forgive. How many thinks I'm right tonight?
There wasn't nobody down there in front of Jesus, Brother Rose, saying, "Forgive me, Lord, for mocking you, for spitting on you." Lots of times, beloved, listen, if we're not careful, we'll read our Bibles and we'll think about that mob and we'll think about that crowd and we'll think about those soldiers that drove those nails in those hands and those feet. We'll think about that Roman soldier that scourged him, and we will not realize that it was your sin and my sin that caused him to have to suffer. Insomuch as it very well could have been us with the hammer in our hands, with the whip, the scourge, the cat of nine tails in our hands. The Word of God said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, it said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now I want y'all to listen to what I'm about to say. Actually, it's not me. I'm just reading the Bible. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." I've got a grandson. I can't say or read the word tenderhearted. He's the one when he was 6 years old told his mommy, "Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher." "Is that right, son? How come?" "That way I just have to work one day a week." That's what he said. But he's tenderhearted. I mean, he's the kind of kid that found out about a youngin' at school that didn't have anything and laid down at night and cried about it. And his mama heard him crying and got together with him and found out what was going on. And they got together and they met the need. But listen to this now. I'm talking about a boy, it's 12 now. This was 10 when it happened. He said, "Mama, I don't want him to know where it come from." "I don't want him to know where it come from. I just want to help." Tenderhearted. Then watch this. Forgiving one another. And God's still not done. Brother Gary, he said, "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'm not going to the story tonight, but there's a story in the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm not getting it exactly right, but you'll get the gist of it, where Jesus says, you know, there was a man that was forgiven a great big debt. He's forgiven a great big debt, and there's another man that owes him a little debt. And he gets him, I believe, Brother Larry, by the throat, and he's choking him. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we all owed a great big debt. And Jesus forgave us. And the Bible said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Tall order? I said it's a tall order. I read a couple of things that I'd like to share with you tonight, if you'd allow me. And I hope it will bring the point home. It said, "The man I ate dinner with tonight killed my brother. The words spoken by a stylish woman at a banquet in Seattle amazed me. She told how John H. had murdered her brother during a robbery, served 18 years at Walla Walla, then settled into life on a dairy farm where she had met him in 1983, 20 years after his crime. Compelled by Christ's command to forgive, Ruth Youngsman had gone to her enemy and pronounced forgiveness. Then she had taken him to her father's deathbed, prompting reconciliation. Some wouldn't call this a success story because John didn't dedicate his life to Christ. But at the banquet last fall, his voice cracked as he said, Christians are the only people I know that you can kill their son and they'll make you part of their family. I don't know the man upstairs, he said, but he sure is hounding me. You know what I believe happened? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. When you have love one toward another. That came from Albert Cuey, the president of the Prison Fellowship Ministries. Years ago, I was in Pennsylvania. God had me to teach a lesson. He led me to teach a lesson on forgiveness. I want everybody to help me right here. I want you to listen carefully just a moment. I spent 45 minutes or an hour going through this Bible, and I'm telling you, hammering it. Forgiveness. God wants us to forgive one another. Hammering it. Hammering it. Hammering it. Got done teaching. Whatever you want to call it. Preaching with the brakes on. But when I finished, I said, now fellas, let me just say this to you. I said, if one of you all broke into my home, Charity, you all were a lot smaller at the time. And I said, you violated one of my little girls. I said, I want you to know there's no way on God's green earth I could forgive you for that. You should have seen the looks, Brother Steve. In other words, you idiot, you just spent an hour teaching us about forgiveness, then you're going to tell us. And by the way, I was speaking to a group of men that had done worse. You say, preacher, what were you trying to do? I was trying to get them over there to the book of Corinthians where the apostle Paul said, to whom I forgave anything, in the person of Christ forgave I it. It's not in us to forgive. It has to be Christ in us. Not something we can just decide to do. It's Him that allows us. That's why the Bible said, forgiven one, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I think that's important. I think it's very important. I think about my mother. I think about 2 years. They doctored her for pain in her back. Throw another pain pill at it, a different kind of pain pill at it. She's laying there in the hospital with pneumonia, fixing to get out of the hospital. Her shoulder's killing her. My sister Bobby was here this morning. Bobby said, I don't know if she said to the doctor, the nurse, said, would you all mind, would you run an MRI on Mom's shoulder? It's killing her. And they found out, I'd never heard the term before this. They called it a destructive tumor. Had eaten a hole in her shoulder blade. So that's what they found first, Brother Steve. Now, Brother Steve, I'm not a doctor, but I would think before 2 years went up, if somebody's back's killing them, I'd be trying to find out what the root cause of it is. They said, this is not the source of the cancer. This is a branch. So they began to examine organs. Told my mom she had 4 months to live with treatments and 3 months without treatments. And Mom said, I just want to go home. I believe that was a twofold statement. Home, home. You say, preacher, I don't know why you would even mention that. I'll tell you why. Because, beloved, listen, you can blame this one or blame that one or blame this one and be bitter. Or you can just say, Lord, before my mama was ever born, you knew when she was going home. And I'm just going to trust you with it. Amen? You say, preacher, has a doctor ever asked y'all to forget? No. But what kind of a preacher would I be if I was carrying that tonight? I might not even be in the church, let alone in the pulpit, if I allowed myself to fester with things that didn't go the way that I thought they should go. Bruce Goodrich was being initiated into the cadet corps at Texas A&M University. One night, Bruce was forced to run until he dropped, but he never got up. Bruce Goodrich died before he even entered college. A short time after the tragedy, Bruce's father wrote this letter to the administration, faculty, student body, and the Corps of Cadets. He said, "I would like to take this opportunity to express the appreciation of my family for the great outpouring of concern and sympathy from Texas A&M University and the college community over the loss of our son, Bruce. We were deeply touched by the tribute paid to him in the battalion. We were particularly pleased to note that his Christian witness did not go unnoticed during his brief time on campus." Mr. Goodrich went on. He said, "I hope it will be some comfort to know that we harbor no ill will in the matter." Listen to this statement. "We know our God makes no mistakes." Bruce had an appointment with his Lord and is now secure in his celestial home. When the question is asked, "Why did this happen?" perhaps one answer will be, "So that many will consider where they will spend eternity." Just another picture, portrait of a forgiving spirit and a forgiving heart. I believe tonight that when the Bible says to love one another, that it does look like a faithful servant when God's people are loving one another. It does resemble and look like a forgiving Savior when God's people are loving one another. But now watch this tonight. I hate to close on a negative note, what happens if we don't? Listen to what the Word of God said. This is not something I made up. This is God's Word. Galatians 5:15. It says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another." Just the opposite of what God wants us to do. Galatians 5:26 said, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Titus 3:3 said, "For we ourselves," listen, he's talking to the church. He said, "We ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." What he's saying there is, that's where we used to be. How many, thanks God, tonight, that's not where we are? One another. Love one another. What's that look like? If you were to look at it, it would look like a faithful servant. And if you were to see a picture of it, it would paint you a picture of a forgiving Savior. Someone that has experienced the forgiveness of God. I had a lady tell me, it's been a couple years back, the words ring in my ears. I love this lady. She's a precious mother and wife. She said, "Pastor, I'm mad at God." And I looked at her broken and I said, "It would be much easier to deal with if you were mad at me." Beloved, tonight, I want to say this tonight. It may begin with being mad at somebody or something, but if we're not very careful, it'll fester and it'll fester and it'll fester. Instead of that which God intended. By the way, listen to me just a minute. I didn't mean to say this tonight. This is good right here. What if Joseph, Brother Steve, his brethren put him in a pit, sold him into slavery. He goes down there. Potiphar buys him, and Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. He ends up in prison. But there's one thing that never changes as you study the life of Joseph. The Bible says over and over, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And by the way, if you'll study the life of Joseph, it wasn't only Joseph that knew the Lord was with Joseph. Everybody around him knew the Lord was with Joseph. It didn't take Potiphar long at all to find out that everything he touched turned to gold. So he just turned it over to him. Down there in the prison, they knew the Lord was with Joseph. You say, preacher, how come it went that way? How come Joseph didn't get bitter? I'll tell you why. Joseph didn't get bitter. I believe God enabled him to look beyond the little picture and see the big picture. God had given Joseph a dream. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It sure did not look like the dream was developing too well. But the dream developed. God saved you and God saved me. And you know what we're going to do one day? Brian talked this morning. He said it's like there's a cellophane wall right there. Remember him saying that? Don't y'all believe there's a lot of things went on? Like it's just so near just to step off. That's what he said on the other side. I'm going to tell you tonight, what we need to do is ask God to let the circumstances of life. I'm going to tell you tonight, you all remember this morning when I said my wife looked at me. Brother Steve, she doesn't speak lightly. She didn't say it in a bitter tone. She didn't really say it in a broken tone. She just said it in a tone that I knew at that time she meant it with everything in her being. Sister Cindy, she said, I'll never get close to anyone again. So what has happened is she has been able to figure something out. Joseph figured it out. The enemy meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And instead of it making Miss Eve a bitter individual, hallelujah, it made her a better individual for the glory of God. I've thought about this, and y'all would never know this if I didn't tell you, probably. I mean, I don't think you would. I've been here almost 7 years. And there's two individuals, one of them's a man and one of them's a lady, that I looked them right in the eyeballs that God gave them with these eyeballs that God gave me and said these words, Brother Steve, I'm sorry. I said in 7 years, right here, those two individuals are great friends of mine. And they're still right here. And Pastor's still right here. You want to know why? God is still on the throne. He can still work in our hearts. It don't take much of a man to make a mistake. It don't take much of a man to spit something out of his mouth in a wrong spirit or a wrong attitude. But I'll tell you this, it does take much of a man, Christ in a man, to be able to say, I'm sorry. And if God lets me stay here 7 more years, I ain't planning on it. But I dare say I'll have to look somebody else in their God-given eyeballs. You say, preacher, why would you do that? Because I want to come to this pulpit, Brother Steve, and preach with a clear heart and a clear conscience. Now don't let your mind wander. The lady, her husband was there, and he's sitting here tonight. He knows exactly what was said. With her, it was just taking something that was a little bit in fun too far. Did you know you can take something and poke a little bit of fun, but you can take it too far? Do you know you can hurt someone like that? And she said to me, she said, "No, Pastor, I didn't think anything about that." I said, "Well, the Holy Ghost and you differ." Because that lady's husband didn't come to me and say, you shouldn't have said that. No, the Holy Ghost said, "You went overboard, big boy." How many of y'all ever done that? Say amen. Well, you know what? You just proved you're human. And with the man, it was a time when we were working and we were tired. Everybody was tired. And I just spoke in a tone of voice and in a way that I didn't have no business speaking in. And he let me know right quick that it wasn't right. And I let him know right quick he was right. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I think, Brother Steve, that's better than taking them crutches to your head. Amen. Brother Steve would, I think, rather me do that and take them to the other knee. I just want to say something to you tonight, and I'm done. I said I'd be done 9:45. I've missed it 5 minutes. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that'll preach something he ain't willing to practice. I wouldn't give you a dime. Not a dime. If it's good for the gander, so to speak, it's good for the gooses. Glad Miss Eve ain't here to pick up on that. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I've got one more little thing down through here. Maybe we'll get in that Wednesday night. This one another phrase. What's it look like when people love one another? Well, it looks like a faithful servant. And it looks like a forgiving Savior. It's painting a picture for the world to see. I can't remember who it was. I read this a while back. I think I might have even shared it from this pulpit. But somebody that was like an atheist or somebody like that. It was agnostic maybe. But they came down to the end of the way and they said, "One thing I envy about you Christians, I have no one to forgive me." Well, if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in Christ. I heard something else that really, really stuck in my heart. It said this, Brother Steve. It said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover the prisoner was me." Amen. How many's glad you come?